You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
All right, please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We have spent 3 weeks in our series. We're wrapping up today, Great Prayers of the Bible. We spent the first three in the Old Testament. We're going to take one in the New Testament and to see an example, a great example of prayer, Colossians 1 from the Apostle Paul. And again, our series wrapping up today and the last day of June. And then we have a guest preacher next weekend, Dave Harvey. He is the president of the Great Commission Collective. We're excited to have him. And then our teaching team is going to be taking us into a six-week series throughout the summer in Psalm 25 and Psalm 27. Excited about that. My summer looks a little bit different this year. Two main reasons. I have a week of classes in school in North Carolina for my doctorate. That's happening end of July. And then I'm at Episcopal Bible Conference preaching for a week there in the first week of August. And when that puts in the middle of the summer, my whole summer gets kind of jigged around. So I'll be out of this pulpit a little longer than normal back in August, but just letting you guys know that. Excited for what is again coming with our teaching team and throughout the summer as well. God's going to be speaking to us, but also excited today on this long weekend to be in Colossians 1, a text that's meant so much to me and hopefully you over many, many years. I love where we're ending today. This is a prayer for transformation. A prayer for transformation. I love Paul's heart here too because he's specifically praying for the transformation in others. And by the way, just as you came in, you were given a card of the prayer outlines that we have gone through in this series, including today as well. And so on the screen for you, but hopefully you have one in your hand. I'm deeply, again, expecting putting that in my Bible. These are prayers that are so closely aligned to the heart of God. And I just implore you as I implore myself that these are the prayers. You cannot go wrong with these prayers. A way to be reminded of this, to pray often, to seek the very heart of God that he would fill us. This is what Paul is doing again in our section today. The context of Colossians is Paul is in prison, and Paul has declaring in chapter 1, verse 9, that he has not ceased to pray for the church in Colossae. He is longing for fruit in their lives. He is longing to see transformation in the lives of the Christ followers that he has poured into. What Paul does in this prayer, he doesn't just say, I'm praying for you as we often do, right? Hey, I'm praying for him, praying for you. What he does, he says, this is how I'm praying for you. This is the exact specifics of what I'm praying for you, church here in, again, the city of Colossae. So this is huge help for us because often, we want to pray for others, but we're like, well, how should I pray for others? Or let's ask ourselves this question too. When we desire to pray for others, which we should, how do we know our prayers are in line with God's will and God's heart as we are praying? What specifically should we pray for as we seek to intercede for others? So all those questions are asked today, and they are answered today, again, in the Word of God. This is great fuel for prayer. Think, as we pray for friends, as we pray for family, as we pray for brothers and sisters in Christ, as we pray for our children, as we pray for grandparents, as we pray for those, again, that we love within the body of Christ. There's no doubt this prayer can be used to pray for ourselves. That isn't a bad thing at all. But the context here is Paul interceding for others. And so true to our context, again, we apply it as we seek to pray for one another. Let's look at our text. Again, excited for today. There's a lot here. May the Lord bless it powerfully. Colossians 1, verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So stop right there. What a beautiful prayer this is, and what a great help to us as, again, we seek to intercede for others. So How should I pray for others? I like to think the outline is a mystery to you, but it's not because you have it in your hands right now, but that's okay. Once a year that happens, all right? So here we pray that number one. Let's pray that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. We are praying they be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, Paul says, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And so much here in this text today. Again, Lord, help us to discern and to digest and to apply it to our lives. Notice again, here's Paul's passion for the renewed mind. He is so passionate about what enters into the minds of those in the church of Jesus Christ. Why does Paul stress so much over and over again the renewed mind? Right now you're like, well, what do you mean by that? Well, his first item of prayer for the church is they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. The very first thing he desires for Christ's followers, again, seeking to honor the Lord with their lives, we must be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Let's make sure we're totally clear here. Knowledge here is not the knowledge of the world. He's not interested in that. The knowledge of the world does nothing. In the end, it does nothing. He says here, this isn't some kind of PhD that someone's pursuing. The knowledge of God's will, of course, is the knowledge of God's truth. In the end, again, I should make sure I clarify, it's not that pursuing knowledge and other means is all right bad, but in the end, again, it does not have eternal significance. The only knowledge ultimately that counts in the end for eternal life is the knowledge of God's truth. Now think, where does that knowledge come from? That knowledge comes from the Bible. It comes from the Word of God. This is why the psalmist declared in Psalm 119, your word on the screen, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The word of God provides the knowledge of the pathway to God and to the ways of God in my life. It is the single greatest source of knowing the knowledge of God's will, seeing the light on my path, and pursuing the things of God. It is the Word. It is the Bible. It is the Word of God. To know the knowledge of God and His will is not found apart from the Word of God. So categorically, simply, but so powerfully again today, God's will is revealed through God's Word. God's will. How should I know what God's will is? You start with His Word, man. Like, if you're not in His Word, I don't know what to say. I don't know where else to point you at this point. God's will is fundamentally revealed through God's Word. Again, we must receive that today, church. Brothers and sisters, loved ones right now, again, if we want to know His will, not apart from His Word. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of God's will is the knowledge that leads to life. The knowledge of the world and all the secular philosophies and ideologies are floating around in our world as much as ever, they lead to death. If they are apart from God, they ultimately lead to death. Stay away from that. Stay away from the woke ideologies of our day and the secular philosophies of our day. Stay away from that. Because ultimately lead away from Christ and away from God and away from His knowledge and away from His life and away from His glory. So this is why Paul says we must be filled with the knowledge of His will. Notice also in verse 9, he has unceasing prayer for them that they may be filled. See that word filled? Underline it, circle it, highlight it, do something with it. Make sure you know it's there. That they may be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Filled's a great word. Filled, in the Greek, it means to be fully equipped. Even beyond that, it means to be controlled by. To be fully controlled by. I love that. Pause. Love that. So be fully controlled by, be captivated by, be fully equipped by the knowledge of God's will. What are we controlled by? Think about it. Whatever we are filled with, we are ultimately controlled by. We are filled with lust, we are controlled by lust. We are filled with anger, then anger controls us. we are filled with secularism and the thoughts of the world, and we are controlled by secularism and the ideas and thoughts of the world. But when we are filled with the knowledge of God's will, then we are controlled by this knowledge. That is beautiful to me. I love it so much. The knowledge of God's will fills us, controls us, guides us, directs, again, renews our minds, points us to the way to God. And think now, when this knowledge is combined with the Holy Spirit, then this leads to the rest of verse 9. Again, look at verse 9. That you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So loved ones, pay attention. This is a massive biblical counseling passage today. This is fundamental Christ follower discipleship right here today. This is so fundamental and foundational, okay? We're learning here right now. Knowledge of God, listen carefully. Knowledge of God leads to the wisdom of God. Filled with the knowledge of God, you are operating the wisdom of God. God's will leads to God's wisdom. What is wisdom fundamentally? Wisdom fundamentally is knowledge rightly applied. The wisdom of God allows us to take God's truth and knowledge and apply it rightly again within our lives. This is what the Holy Spirit longs to do in your life. The Holy Spirit so much wants to direct you and I according to the wisdom of God. Now, all throughout this passage here, and again, I've seen this over many, many years, it's blessed me so much, there's a beautiful, powerful sequence through this passage. I'm going to give you just a taste as we kind of continue on right here. I want you to see in the screen here. Notice this, okay? Fundamental, massive discipleship. We're learning this. The Word of God gives us the will of God, which leads us to the wisdom of God. Right here. You may be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Where's the knowledge of God's will come? It comes from the Word of God. It comes from the Bible. There is no will of God known without the Word of God. The Word of God leads to the will of God, which leads to the wisdom of God. You're here right now. I want the wisdom of God, not without the will of God. You don't get the will of God apart from the Word of God. Hey, you and I are not in the Word of God. We're dumb. How many believers go through life and they're barely in God's word? I don't have theological explanation for that. Other than we're lazy and we love the world more than we love the Lord, and we find so many other things to do to entertain ourselves to death. Okay, guys, fundamentally, listen, I pleaded with you for 20 years on this, okay? The Word of God is not a check mark. The Word of God leads to the will of God and the wisdom of God. You want the wisdom not without the Word. It's impossible. Whatever you do, first priority. Woke up this morning, man. I was sitting outside, just a little porch, just sitting outside, and the humidity broke, the air's coming in, the Bible open, sitting there, and just like in a chair, and just staring at the street. I was like overwhelmed with the grace and the beauty and the quiet and the truth of God's word. Man, I was in Joshua. I was in Psalms 120 to 125. I was in Isaiah 61 and 62. I was in Matthew 10. I'm just like, I want time to slow down. I got to go preach. But you're sitting there and you're just like, you know what's the funniest thing ever? I was sitting there and I was like on the porch sitting in the chair, and literally it was like around the corner from where like a driveway is. There's like, all of a sudden this little creature came over. It was a skunk. It was like two feet from me around this corner. It was a baby skunk who was sitting there hiding under a little bush. I almost freaked out, man. I got up and ran away. He turned his tail at me. I'm like, oh, that'd be bad. I can't preach today because a skunk got me. That would be embarrassing. Anyway, back to this. The Word of God and the will of God and the wisdom of God. You want to be wise? Not without God's will. You don't have God's will apart from God's word. And see, this is so fundamentally important. I just get so excited about it. Because like men, women, like dads, like come on, man. Like if we want to be used, we got to be in the word. So we're praying for others to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Number two, we are praying that their walk may be worthy of the Lord. Look at verse 10 now. Notice Paul says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. So super important, again, loved ones right here. Paul's insisting now, right? Truth must lead to transformation, right? Truth by itself is not good enough, not at all. The whole point of God's truth is to result in transformation within our lives. Think of it this way. What good is knowing God's will and having God's wisdom if there's no walk? What good is intellectually knowing God's will and then possessing God's wisdom and then just staying there dormant? That makes no sense. No. I understand God's will. I have his wisdom. Why? Now I can walk with wisdom. Now I can live out and make an impact in my life, bearing fruit and walking with the wisdom of God. Notice this too, right? This is so massive, all these years in our church. Information by itself is not good enough. Information must lead to transformation. The whole reason we teach the Bible is not to sit and accumulate information. It must result in more love for Christ, more fruit from our lives, a more worthy walk before the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful prayer. We pray for others as we do so. And what does transformation look like here? It looks like to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. A walk in a manner worthy, a worthy walk. Are my words and speech pleasing to the Lord? Are my thoughts pleasing to the Lord? What my eyes look at, are they pleasing to the Lord? Are my actions, my behavior, my attitudes pleasing to the Lord? Let's just get a little application here on the screen for us here. Notice the worthy walk. This is basic stuff, but this is also very important. The unworthy walk. Is my walk filled with humility or is it filled with pride? Is it unity or division? Is it purity, worthy, or is it lust and sexual immorality? A worthy walk is filled with love as opposed to jealousy and envy. Gratitude as opposed to complaining or entitlement. Joy as opposed to gloom. Selflessness as opposed to selfishness. A worthy walk bears fruit all over this passage as opposed to laziness. A worthy walk exalts Christ, loves him, as opposed to idolatry. A worthy walk is led and filled by the Spirit of God as opposed to living by the flesh. A worthy walk is one that is generous as opposed to an unworthy walk that is greedy. See, Paul says you have the word of God, the will of God, the wisdom of God that leads to the walk with God. The walk with God here, the worthy walk. This is the desire the Holy Spirit wants to see within our lives. We pray such things that people would choose to walk in a way that is worthy, fully pleasing from the Lord. Notice too, as just before we move on from verse 10, or at least the first half from verse 10, notice how verse 10 starts. You see there? So in my translation, it says, so as to walk. Okay, so what Paul's doing now, he's building a sequence again, right? Everything, again, that's starting now in verse 10 is built on that which came in the truth of verse 9. So let's just build upon our sequence here as we go through this today. Very excited by this. Watch this. Ready? The word of God leads to the will of God, leads to the wisdom of God, leads to our walk with God. Tell how excited I am about this alliteration today in God's word. I mean, I'm not even putting these things here. All these words are there. The word of God leads to the will of God, leads to the wisdom of God, which cannot stop there. It must then end up with our walk with God, and one more W, a worthy walk with God. What a great prayer. God, we pray for our children. We pray for our friends. We pray for our brothers and sisters. No worthy walk without the wisdom of God, the will of God, and the word of God. Paul continues. He's building on this. Number three, you see it there. We pray that they would bear much fruit in their work now. In their work for God. Look at the rest of verse 10. Verse 10 says, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So loved ones, watch this. So much here today. It's so good. What is the validation of a worthy walk in the Lord? What is the authentication of a walk that is worthy in the Lord? The answer is fruit, work. The worthy walk in the Lord always leads to fruit or work for the Lord. Remember, this is just good theology, right? The Holy Spirit never lies dormant in the life of the genuine believer. At least he doesn't do it by choice. The Holy Spirit is never content to sit there in our lives and do nothing. The Holy Spirit, his will 100%, his will is to bear fruit that we might work again for the Lord as a result of what God has done in us through salvation, leading again to sanctification, leading to see fruit come from our lives. This is the purpose of our life in Christ. The purpose of our life in Christ is to bear fruit for Christ. Remember, the Holy Spirit is longing and itching to see fruit in your life. I want you to stop and just pause and think this for a second. If you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ right now, the Holy Spirit is longing to bear fruit through your life. Longing to. It's his purpose in you. Make it personal, man. You are designed as God's workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. Created in Christ Jesus beforehand for the foundations of the world that you might produce work again for Christ. Incredible. Our purpose is to bear fruit for him, and the Holy Spirit, man, he longs to do this. We have not been saved and washed by the blood of Jesus to sit there. There's no way. Listen, we've been saved into his church, not to consume. That's a danger in this church. Because if you want to, you can come and sit at the back or sit wherever and do nothing and just consume. Like, that's easy to do here. We must understand, though, that that is not why we have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have not been saved by Jesus and spared the very wrath of God's judgment and all our sin been cleansed to sit there and do nothing. That is terrible theology. That is sinful. Rather, we have been saved by grace. We have been saved, listen, into the church of Jesus Christ to work, to bear fruit. So this is an important moment right now, okay? I don't, you know, all who's here right now, but I love those standing on the theology and truth of God's word. Every single one of us here right now, if you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, you have been set apart to serve. See, listen, the outworking of your life in Jesus Christ is to walk in a manner worthy that you might bear fruit in work for Christ. What's the greatest single way we work for Christ? Is through the church. Let me just say it as clearly as I can. If you're here right now, and this is your church home, and you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not serving this church in some form with the gifts that you've been given by God, that's a theological problem. There's a theological disconnect there because you have been given a gift by the Holy Spirit. Every single person alive in Jesus Christ has been given a spiritual gift, at least one. Many of you have multiples. You've been given an opportunity, a talent, a mina, as the parables teach. We cannot go through this life just sitting here. We got to get in the game and serve the Lord Jesus Christ somehow, some way, because that's what we've been designed to do. And this is the prayer for Paul. He's like, hey, man, you're walking worthy for the Lord, then you will also work. That's the outcome of this. Again, verse 10, in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Isn't that so interesting? So he's going through the whole sequence, and he's like, in every good work, and you will then, in, he started with knowledge, and now he comes back to knowledge, and increasing in the knowledge of God. What does that mean there? What it means spiritually, it means the rich get richer. Let me emphasize spiritually. Spiritually, the rich get richer. See, what do you mean? Those who are growing in God's knowledge and God's wisdom and walking in a worthy manner, bearing fruit, what the Bible says here teaches us, as they work for the Lord, then they actually increase in knowledge for God. Look at this graphic here. The knowledge of God's will and the wisdom of God, and then bearing fruit and walking with God, then working and bearing fruit, walking, working fruit for God, where the Bible teaches this actually leads to an increase of the knowledge of God. You're reading the same Bible I am. So just by way of example, this week, those who are serving Hope Kids Camp, bless your hearts, man, bless your heart. That's wonderful. That's so powerful. God promises in some way you set apart your week to serve the Lord Jesus Christ for the purposes of the church and his kingdom in some form, in some way, as you give yourself in wisdom to walk and work and bear fruit. The Bible says, and God promises, you will actually increase in the knowledge of God and intimacy with him. That makes so much sense, doesn't it? Because those who, again, almost all the time, right? Those who are most mature are those who are serving, because they are obeying the word, and God blesses those who serve and blesses those who bear fruit. I mean, another example is you go on a missions trip, you come back, you're more on fire for God than ever maybe. God's blessing the fruitfulness in there because you learn so much more about the Lord as you engage in service and bearing fruit for him. You intimately interact with the Lord as you serve and use your gifts because you're in God's will, and then your closeness to God increases. Sure, there are seasons where there's fatigue and all stuff happen. In the end, again, the trajectory is the circle comes around and you have more knowledge of the Lord than when you began. And this is why those who are mature in Christ are those who serve. Those who bear fruit, because they know this is the mandate. This is the mission. This is what I'm set apart to do. So hopefully we're in this passage right now. We're motivated. I am. And we say, I want my life to count. I must bear fruit. And that's a tremendous takeaway. If you're sitting here today and you're like, I must bear fruit, I'm like, that's awesome. That's so awesome. Again, this is the purpose of our lives, to bear fruit in Jesus Christ. But don't miss this, okay? We want the fruit. We want the fruit. But notice how we get there. Let's do some logical theology right now. Logical theology, man. I'm taking so many laps around the track today because I want you guys to remember this, okay? This is what people often say. I want to bear fruit for God. I want to bear fruit for God. Okay, but not so fast. To bear fruit for God means what? Means this next. I got to walk with God. If I want to walk with God next, we do this. I need the wisdom of God. With the wisdom of God, then I need the will of God. And the will of God, then I need the word of God. I want to bear fruit for God. I want to bear fruit for God. We'll back up the train for a second. It all starts here. The word open, a heart loving the Lord, to seek his will, filled with his wisdom, then to walk with wisdom, to walk in a worthy manner, and then to work and bear fruit for the Lord. This is the path of blessing and power. This is what happens. And then when God fills us with his wisdom, then we obey his word as we are seeking to do that. Such powerful prayer for fuel for others in our lives and those around us. Fourthly, we pray that they would know the weight of God's power to endure. The weight of God's power. Look at verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience and joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share inheritance of the saints in light. Now, I admit with this last point, I am certainly going for the alliteration with a W, but it's irresistible to me again. It's irresistible to me, okay? But notice here in verse 11, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. That is so good to me. Listen, we are all so weak. We are all so weak. We must be strengthened by God's power. How? According to his glorious might. His glorious might, the inexhaustible, unlimited, infinite power of God, the weight of God's power, the glorious strength and magnitude and weight of God's power. But notice what God's awesome power is used for. This is so interesting as my mind was renewed again this week in verse 11. Notice his infinite power is used to produce in our lives. Look at it, verse 11. Endurance, patience, and joy. Isn't that interesting? May be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. For what? Often we think, well, his glorious power and glorious might, that we see massive miracles. I'm going to raise the dead. I'm going to walk around and see the waters parted. These awesome, again, world-changing miracles, which are incredible, again, in Scripture. But notice that's not what God's power is ultimately directing us towards here in this text. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. What? How about this? To endure. How about to make it another day? Strengthened with all power that you might have patience. We'll unpack that in a second. Strengthened with his glorious might. What? To know joy in the midst of hardship and trial. That's a blessing to me today. We receive his power, loved ones, ultimately here to endure. Man. Just to continue on. Again, the biblical emphasis on endurance and perseverance, it's so massive. Charles Spurgeon said, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Some of you just got that. Notice though, this is a huge one for many people here today. You are strengthened with power to persevere. This resonates deeply with me. how many times in the course of the last 25 years, needing God's power to not give up, strengthen with God's power to endure, to persevere. Who's that for today? It's interesting, he also says patience. Patience here in the Greek can mean long-suffering, but it's interesting, the Greek word, again, long-suffering, but listen, particularly with reference to people is how that word is used. Isn't this so interesting? God, I need your glorious power. I need your glorious might. I need your incredible, unlimited strength to have patience and long-suffering in relationships. Fascinating. God, strengthen me with your power that I might have patience in very difficult relationships or tear-forming relationships or just challenging people or just situations I'm encountering. God, I need your power to have long-suffering in my life. Amazing to me. God strengthens us to remain under the trial, James 1, to be steadfast. Notice he also gives us his glorious strength and power to know joy, to give thanks, verse 12. The glorious might and power of God in our lives, what produces supernatural joy and gratitude. God, fill me with your power and strength that I might know your joy, that I might have gratitude, which is unexplainable in human terms. So again, for me and Jill, a very recent example, our daughter Bliss in cancer surgery a week and a half ago or so. And in a moment of trial, in a moment of insecurity and vulnerability, all of a sudden, through the massive prayers of so many of you and others, in a moment of great uncertainty, you feel that way, all of a sudden strength comes. All of a sudden, overwhelmed by joy even. Like unexplainably, sensing God's power and your daughter is in the operating room, whatever, even gratitude, which just blew my mind. How? Because people pray. Paul's praying that in the midst of their trial, in the midst of their weakness, in the midst of their difficulty, endurance, patience, joy, gratitude. That is awesome. And that is what the Lord wants to do and does in our lives as we seek him, as we pray for others. And then notice the remainder of what a text. Look at verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So verse 12 tells us, why do we endure? Why do we have reason for joy? Because in Jesus Christ, we are saints, it says. Sinners, yes. Saints, yes. In Jesus Christ, you see verse 12? Circle, underline, highlight, inheritance. Inheritance of the saints in light. Hey, church, listen up. One day soon, Jesus is returning. Hey, church, listen up. One day soon, the trumpet will sound. One day soon, Jesus Christ coming riding in the clouds. One day soon, you will stare and see Jesus Christ face to face. One day soon, you will be aware of the glory that is yours in the Lord Jesus Christ. One day soon, again, you will look him in the eyes and you will receive the crown of righteousness all because of what Jesus Christ did. Can you imagine, like, again, we got caught up in earthly inheritances and stuff like that. Can you imagine when the Lord Jesus Christ gives to you the full inheritance that is his? Like, you know, yeah, you want to clap for that back? We clap for that. Amen. I would clap for that too. That's so good. Way to go, brother and sister in the back. Way to lead. Listen. Like we think this world has some stuff to offer. Again, listen. I'm not making this up, man. This is true. Like this is just good biblical truth. You and I, if you are alive in Jesus, one day soon, you will be granted the inheritance of the King. What's that going to look like? Pretty darn good. It's going to be awesome. This is why we ultimately give thanks. This is why, no matter what circumstance we're in, can we never diminish our inheritance. No matter how we feel, it cannot take away our inheritance. No matter who comes against us, we'll never diminish our inheritance. No matter what happens in life, we'll never, ever take away from us the reality of the glory and the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Now, let me be so clear about this, okay? This is only true for those who have received Jesus Christ by grace through faith. If you are apart from Jesus Christ, this is not your promise. But you can receive Jesus Christ by believing in him for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus Christ, you are my Savior. I am a sinner. I confess you as Lord. I believe that you died for my sins and rose from the dead. You are Lord. You are driving my car now. I surrender to you. I give up. I confess you as Lord and Savior. And then the person, the man or woman, child who does that, then they will receive the inheritance of everlasting life. Never to die. Never to die. The hope of Jesus is your hope. This is why we are filled with gratitude. So, such a sweet passage. Let's just take one more time, put the sequence on the screen again here just to flush it out. That's a lot of W's. Praise the Lord. Love it. Notice. The word of God leads to the will of God, leads to the wisdom of God, leads to a walk with God, leads to work for God, and then we might know the weight, strength, power, glory of God. You say, I want that. Not without working, not without walking, not without wisdom, not without God's will, not without God's word. Hey, I'm basically begging you today. I'm basically begging some of us today. You have one life as I do. Do not spend your one life entertaining yourself on social media. Please, brothers, sisters, I appeal to you. You cannot argue this. A failure to this, and this is so foolish to stand before the Lord at the end. Again, whatever it takes, we have every resource you can imagine in this church to help you grow in this. Curriculum, classes, people, groups, everything's all there to grow in Christ, to know his strength and power. What will it take? You're hearing today. Do something about it. Resolve, pray, accountability, seek the Lord. Again, because this is where life is lived. And this is what the Lord uses. Your purpose is to bear fruit, as is mine, only done again in the Lord Jesus Christ and in this way. So I'm praying Colossians 1, 9 to 12. You will remember it for a long time. So I have written in my Bible the sequence of word and will and wisdom and walk and work and wait. I had that all there because I don't want to forget it. And I can teach others about it as we are today. Yes, Lord, do it. Amen, church? Do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word so much. It is incredible. You are incredible. You are awesome. This is a very, very important day. And so we pray, God, it starts with a desire and passion for your word, to know your will. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, that you may discern again the will of God, what is good and pleasing to the Lord. God, help us to be wise enough today to hear and to say, I can't argue with this. This is so important. It's so clear and so true. I need your wisdom that I might walk properly, that I might work for you, that I might know your weight of power and strength in my life. And may we use this as great prayer, Lord, for so many others that we know and love. Thank you for how you teach us so clearly. And I pray now in the song, which is such a great application, Lord, it would mean so much to us today. Bless this church. Bless your people. I'm so thankful for your children here today, Lord. And I pray even just this weekend at this time, would be a massive sense of God working and blessing and filling and clarity and laser precision and light bulbs and motivation and excitement and prayer and power. May it be so, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand and sing.